to singing now. Oh, we are on holy ground, and I know there are angels. Oh, they're standing all around. Hallelujah. Let's stand.
Jesus now.
Sing it one more time with all your heart. We are standing. Thank you, Father. Oh, and I know. Oh, they're all around.
Let us pray.
Amen. Well, isn't it good to be back into the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed church here last night? Word of the Lord was wonderful, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. So glad you're here this morning. We have come to have church once again. It's camp meeting time on Sunday morning, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. What a time to have camp meeting. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Now let's give him a big hand clap of praise if we love him with all of our heart this morning. Hallelujah. We're such a blessed people to be able to come to his house to worship him in spirit and in truth. Many of a person would like to have your seat this morning. Many of a person would love to be able to be in this assembly this morning, but they're not able to. Let's relish this moment. Let's take advantage of this moment. Don't take nothing for granted. Don't take nothing for granted. Because this is a privilege from the Lord Jesus Christ that you get to be in this service today. And for me, it's for a privilege for every one of us. Are you glad about it?
Yes,
now turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. Let's sing a little bit more of that, guys, if you will. Sounds good. You play it. presence on holy ground. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for a bit while we look at our prayer requests. Brother Rob, if you'd get ready this morning to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of our prayer request. I want to pray for Sister Brenda Harmon, suffering from severe pain in the back of her neck. So let's remember her today as we pray. Brother Rocky contacted us just a little while ago, wants us to really remember Sister Sharon Ward in prayer. She was scheduled to be released from the rehab center and had a relapse and just really, really weak and really sick in her body. And Brother Rocky, just asking if we would, let's pray for her today, that the Lord would be mindful of her and just give her healing in her body. Brother Joel Moyer wants us to remember those folks in prayer. They have another court hearing with Child Services. They're just asking that we would pray that the will of the Lord would be done. And also remember healing for his wife. Also remember him about a job situation. So let's pray for those needs today, that the Lord would be mindful of that family. I want to pray for Sister Brenda Jones, who is sick, unable to be in the service today. Let's pray for her. Brother Jonathan Baker, suffering from a toothache. So let's pray for him today. The Lord would give him healing. I want to pray for the whole Gibby family, many physical needs. The Lord knows all about that. We're just committed unto the Lord. Sister Martha Sacker, sister, please pray for a little 4-year-old girl named Bailey. She is not growing, and doctors are going to do surgery to try to stretch her stomach and esophagus. She has several things wrong with her, and the doctors don't expect her to live past 10. Also, my sister Becky has been having several medical problems. I really want to see her saved, so let's pray for that need today. As we pray, Sister Rachel Estep wants to thank the church for all the calls, prayers, cards, and the food. So we thank the Lord she's doing better. I want to pray for Courtney Campbell and family. They found her aunt deceased this morning or maybe in the last day or so. She was 38 years old, left behind a husband and 2 children. So let's pray for that family today, that the Lord would be mindful of them. I want to pray for Mark Potter Jr. That's my grandson. He's in the ER with a high fever, having trouble breathing. Sister Bonnie Potter sends that in. Brother Ryan Kennedy wants us to pray for a friend of his. She's having very serious pregnancy issues that could possibly cause harm to the child. So let's remember that need today. Sister Linda Krager says to my sister needs us to pray for her son who needs the Lord and healing for his body. Also, her granddaughter needs a healing touch, and pray for her salvation as well. So let's remember those needs today as we pray. Let me make this announcement. We want to welcome Richard Ellsworth to our assembly. He lives here and will be attending Happy Valley Church. He's been a family friend since he was 6. Who might that be? Would you just raise your hand right back here? Give him a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Praise the Lord. So glad to have you as part of our assembly. Trust your Christian walk with us will be a good time for you. The church has produced the library, or Brother Michael, I don't know who did this. It's a good CD that from the church, singers from the church here. If you'd like to pick one of those up, Happy Valley Church Specials of 2016. So if you want to pick one of those up, they have them over in the library for you to do that this morning. So we just look to do that. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we just commit all these things unto the Lord. Brother Rob, would you come? As we stand together this morning, let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Rob. We appreciate you, buddy.
Appreciate you.
God bless you,
Brother Louis so much. He mentioned all the people that were so instrumental. We wanted to give thanks to all the people in the congregation, the people that do things in the back and in the front. And Brother Louis, you mean the world to me as well. And it's something in the beginning when I came here, it was such an inspiration. Think about what you do. You encourage the broad, okay? Let's go to the Lord. Dear Lord, thank you for the day that you have created. Thank you for the message of God that's come forth in our lives. Lord, Thanksgiving is coming. Lord, help us to have a spirit of thanksgiving, Lord, as we go out. These prayer requests have been made in faith, asking for you to come upon the scene. I am so thankful that there's a God, a living God, that we can go to that can answer our prayers, Lord, in the way that we need them for our heart's desire. I pray, Lord God, that you would move for these requests. There were many today, and I long for the day that we're home in heaven, that we have no need for prayer requests, but right now we do, and we're so thankful. There was a time in my life that there was nowhere that I could go, and this day, Lord, Scripture is fulfilled day in, day out, every service. Lord, we're able to come to you in the spirit of truth. I pray, Lord God, for the service today. I thank you, Lord, for the ability for us to listen from heaven. I thank you, Lord, for thanksgiving and the ability to give true thanksgiving and be thankful for the home that you've given us here and the opportunity and the experience, Lord, that you're building in your people. I pray, Lord God, that as we go forth, Lord, this should be the last service before we go back to our families to celebrate Thanksgiving. I pray, Lord God, that we could be a light to those families, Lord Jesus, that they may see you in us. That would be my prayer, Lord, to bring us home. In the spirit and truth of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here, Brother Bert. Good to have you back in the service, you and your family this morning. God bless you. As we just continue to pray for that family, the Lord will just comfort their hearts and be with them. All those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a blessing to those folks as well. A lot of people looking at you this morning, or will be sometime during the day, so make them proud of you. You'll never see them, but they're looking at you. Let's make them proud. Let's sing a song this morning. We sing it a lot here lately, but I can't get away from it, Brother Harry. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, what kind of a time is it going to be for us? Somebody say, I'm looking forward to it. Praise the Lord. Ushers, you are getting the money, I hope. I'm surprised you forgot that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sing it, buddy. He says his throat's bad, but he says that every time. He sings like a canary.
I'm sitting here shaking my head no at him, but he won't look.
Amen.
Congregation, will y'all please sing? I have stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartaches and frustrations, kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true.
Oh, yes.
Child, if you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you. So I proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me.
Oh, let's sing about it. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, in every battle that I've fought, you'll be from
mighty throne and fall down on my knees.
Well, in the reason that I'm standing
stands in front of me. The road has not been easy.
Thank you, Lord.
At times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all. But he carried me with his amazing grace. And someday soon I'll have the chance to thank him face to face.
When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought, it'll be from me.
every kindred, tongue, and race, and every child of God that day will look upon His face. And the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan soil will all stand together and declare, that I'm standing,
he stands
in front of me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We're going to try to work three songs in this morning. We've got a lot to try to get done. So singers, if you'll sing just as quickly as you can. Sister Cindy, you and Sister Anna, and whoever is going to be part of the trio, if you'll come on. Brother Caleb, if you'll come on. And Brother Melvin, I want Brother Melvin to come. I've been trying to get this guy to sing for a long, long time. And he's going to sing for us this morning. And I've got some songs that's backed up. I will get to all of you as I can, when I can. Just bear with us. And we will get you in. But let's give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing. Praise the Lord. Let's just sing a little chorus while they're all coming. God is good all the time and all the time. Amen. Well, I know my God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. Y'all.
We have gathered in your house, and I confess that I'm so tired. The burdens of this life are so heavy on my mind, but I don't mean to complain. When these problems cloud my view, for you deserve my highest praise. So Lord, this is what you have been. of kings and Lord of all. When I magnify your name, all my problems seem so small. So I will lay aside my pain, and I will lift my hands to you, for I know it makes you smile every time I worship.
I shall not bear the cross through yon city when the burdens of life are laid down. When I knock on the portals of heaven, I will trade the old cross for a crown, and I will trade the old cross for a crown. When the cross that I bear for my Savior will at last one day when He calls be laid down, and all my sorrow will then be forgotten, and that's when I'll trade the old cross for a crown, and I will trade the old cross for a crown. When the burdens of life I
Words cannot describe its beauty as a poem. Y'all bear with me. I'm so nervous I can't hardly talk, not alone to sing. You know, I marvel at these young kids. They get up here and have nerves of steel. And I don't know how they do it because I'm just a nervous wreck. Words cannot describe. I may have the wrong key. Let me just start it, brother. Words cannot describe its beauty as a poem. A stem it grows, matchless in its glory, the tender little rose. And with its petals broken, the greatest beauty shows. How sweet is the fragrance of heaven's sweet rose, the most beautiful rose was broken one day, nailed to a tree on a hill far away, forsaken by his friends and bruised by his foes. How sweet is the fragrance of heaven's sweet rose. Now they laid that broken rose down in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, that rose again did bloom. Now from the heights of heaven down to the deepest hell, heaven's sweet rose, it continually dwells. The most beautiful rose was broken one day, nailed to a tree on a hill far away, forsaken by his friends and bruised by his foes. How sweet is the fragrance of heaven's sweet rose, forsaken by his friends and bruised by his foes. How sweet is the fragrance of heaven's sweet rose.
Amen. Certainly appreciate our songs this morning. Now, Brother Melvin is too good of a singer not to be singing. Is that, we agree with that? Give him one more hand this morning. Praise the Lord. As Brother Donnie gets ready to come this morning, I think we have a baby dedication, so just remain seated. But we've got a lot to thank him for. So much to thank him for. Not just Thanksgiving week, but he's been so good to us. Every day of our life, he has blessed me far beyond I could ever imagine. How about you? Has he done it for you? And I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good.
all sure do, don't we? Brother Ben and Sister Emily will bring their little baby. We'll dedicate her to the Lord today.
Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring.
To stand up here with us, Grandpa. As you can tell by looking at him, he's really dreading it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what a great privilege it is for us, Lord, to be able to bring our children into the earth, and Lord, to be able to rear them and teach them, bring them in the admonition of God. My brother and sister stand here today, Father, with this precious gift of life. They want to bring her back into your presence. You gave her to them, Lord, and they want to give her back to you. They're asking you, Lord, that you would just help them. They can be able to do their part, do everything you want them to do. Lord Jesus, may your presence just watch over. May you keep her, Lord. The evil day comes upon us. May the presence of God just guide this mother, this father. Keep them, I pray, Father. We dedicate our little life to you today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's see, it's just in case you don't know it, we don't believe in women preachers. Always the women trying to take over. Stand again. St. John 1:1. Last night we were speaking about the Logos and the Rhema and these great galleries of God. We'd like to look at that again today if the Lord would help us. How many come to receive something from the Lord today?
Amen.
Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Some things happened today, of course, we know that. Aren't you grateful, though, it penetrated beyond your darkness and got a hold of you? Let's pray together. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your great word, Lord Jesus. We're asking you today that you would just anoint us, catch us up into your presence, Father. The Spirit of God can make these words more than Logos, but make them Rhema. Make them alive. Quicken them to our hearts, Father. You see each need of every individual, and we're just asking you today for your divine providence to come and speak to us once again. In Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Logos and Rhema, R-H-E-M-A, Greek word Rhema, English the way we say it, Rhema. Two direct words that are used from the Greek language that defines our English word. Meaning, one of them, of course, is that which is all the contents and expression of God by word. Also, the living word, which is Christ, which is St. John 1:1. And then the other one is the Rhema word, or Rhema word. The word actually itself was never created or made. It was always in eternity with God. It did come to different changes of expression. A word is that by which we communicate our thoughts and our will and our intentions. And God, of course, did exactly the same thing. In the beginning was the Word. So the Logos was the visible expression of the invisible thought. That's not too hard to understand because your words are exactly the same thing. Your words express your invisible thoughts. Then the living word, which is Christ, also expresses the invisible God. God wants the same thing to happen in you and I, that this message of this word of God of this hour is not more than just doctrines and theology to a lot of people, but God wants it to be a living expression, a voice that is declared by a life. The rhema word is actually a seasonal word by which God takes something and makes it real to you for when you need it. It's this that the prophets receive. The word of God, you remember the scripture says the word of God came to the prophets, or the word of the Lord came to the prophets. It was this which was in season, which came to them, and God quickened it for the hour that they were living. Now, as our words are the connection, which be able to frame the invisible image of what we have in our mind, it expresses also our will, our intent, and our desire. And this is what God did. God does the same thing by election. And this is what we want inevitably to get to, is that God sowed a predestinated seed in us, and it was there in us, of course, when we were born, but it must be quickened by the breath of God, the life of God, and then it transforms that word, like it does out of here, into becoming a living expression. Now, let's look at a few more examples this morning of Logos before we go into Rhema. Romans chapter 9, verse 9, for this is the word of promise, or the Logos of promise, God speaking to Abraham, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, here God is reiterating to Abraham what he had already said. It was a promise, a daily promise that Abraham could be reminded of over and over again. Now, God had already quickened it to him, but for whatever reason, when Paul wrote it here, he put it in the category that this word was actually Logos. Now, remember, Logos, God separated the power from Logos, so the Logos portion of the word can be spoken, and it may or may not create. It may or may not illuminate the one who is speaking that word. Now, whenever the word itself can be read, it can be taught, it can be preached, it can be discussed, it does not necessarily mean the people that are talking about it will get the understanding or the life that is in that Logos. But when God quickens that word, then it changes it supernaturally. It is no longer a dead letter, but it is a living article of the living God. But yet, do we need Logos every day of our life? Notice again in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in Logos or in word, but in power. Now notice how the power is separated from the Logos. For the kingdom of God is not in Logos only, but in power, which is dunamis and demonstration. Why would God do such a thing? Why would God separate power from Logos? If not, every devil, every demon, every hypocrite, every whoever more would be able to read this Logos and create and do all kinds of things with it. So God separated power from Logos and allowed the Logos to be written down. And what does it come to the true union again? Whenever the power comes back on that Logos and quickens it to our hearts. Oh, children, how we need to pray for this to happen every day. For the kingdom of God is not in word only or in word that in Logos, but in power. Again, Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Holding forth the Logos of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. And we all know and love these scriptures, but I want you to notice how that God separated the power from scriptures pertaining to your body change. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say unto you by the Logos of the Lord. Amen. Now here God gives the written scriptures of the rapture, but he separates the power from the Logos. We would read it, we would talk about it, we would think about it, but if this was a rhema word, then every person who ever read it would be changed. But since it is a Logos word, and the power to change your body is not only in this scripture, but it must be united to become a rhema prophecy. Now this is what we are waiting for to happen in our lives. I'm going to try to be nice this morning and behave. I'm not giving you my word, I'm just going to try. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, the Logos of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now this scripture has been written almost 2,000 years ago. It has been read by countless of millions of people. It has been preached by preachers all over the world. It has been discussed in Bible studies. It has been discussed by theologians. All types of things have been written about it, and yet it has not caused a rapture yet. If the power of God lay in this scripture alone to cause the rapture, we should not even be here today. But why hasn't it happened? Because God divided the resurrection power from this scripture and let this scripture be in the form of Logos. But we're waiting for it to become Rhema. Glory. Notice this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. How many loves this scripture? Isn't it wonderful? Why don't it change you already? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now this is in total in Logos form. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now notice, I love the way he closes this out in this next verse. Wherefore, comfort one another with these Logoses. Praise be to God. Now we can take the Logos and we can read it, and we should. And we should study it, and we should love it. And we can actually comfort one another with it. But we can't give one another a rhema. When this scripture changes from Logos to rhema, there won't be a one of you that can give it to me. And I can't give it to you. God personally has to give it to every individual. But this will be the last revelation that you will receive as a mortal in this mortal body. When these passages of scripture move from Logos to become living articles in your body. Oh, praise the Lord. If it wasn't for that, friends, it would have already happened. Every believer down through time, if this was a rhema word, every believer that's reading their Bible one day and they picked it up, it was in a scroll or whatever format, and when their eyes fell on that scripture and they were elect of God, they would have read it, they'd have been gone right then. But God pulled the resurrection power away from that. Look at the Lord Jesus. Whenever they killed him on the cross and they lay him in the tomb, how is it that he could lay there in that period of 3 days and yet his body be dead? Why? Because the life had left the body. Was the body the Word? Yes, it was. The Word was made flesh, and the life had left the body. And when the life come back, it raised up the Word. Jesus had a body change and entered into the eternity. Praise God. Now, notice again, we cannot comfort one another with rhema. God can give you a rhema word, a word which is in fit season for you, something that so illuminates your heart, and you might share the testimony, and somehow say, that is really nice. Oh, I'm so glad. That is so good. I'm so glad God did that for you. You can give witness of that rhema, but you can actually not make it rhema to them. Oh my, I love this. Thank God. Satan himself can use the Logos, but he has no access to Rhema. That's just one of the many things that separates me from the devil. I've got access because I'm a son of God. As a matter of fact, it's a family trait to have access to Rhema words. It's not a family trait to be able to read the Logos. Come on now. It's not a family trait to even nod your head and say, well, yeah, that's right. It's more of a family trait to have direct contact into the presence of God, to be able to receive rhema words from God himself. Praise the Lord. So now a rhema word or a scripture is a verse or even a portion of scripture that God makes real for you in the season of whatever you're going through. It is the Holy Ghost that takes that and quickens it to you for the time. Now watch in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus, when he's being tempted by the devil, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now even though it's the same English word, look at the Greek Greek word, rhema. Word, saying that which is or has been uttered by the living voice. By the living voice. Now, a lot of times when you and I read the word and we're quoting it, well, God said this and God said that, and we are hearing ourselves read it, that's exactly what it is. It is us reading it. But when God drops that and transforms that logos, so you said, Brother Donnie, this is strange. It is not strange. When God transformed the body of Jesus, don't you understand, friend? The body of the Lord Jesus wasn't just brought back to life again, but Jesus, remember the chariot, talking about before church, Jesus had to have a body change. Jesus looked like a 50-year-old man. But when he entered into his glorified body in the resurrection, he did not no longer look like he was 50. Why? Jesus himself experienced the body change before you do. Glory be to God. God quickened his body. God did not just give life back to that body, but God changed his body back to where he looked like a young man when he was 20 or so. Jesus had a body change. How could he lay there? How could he get old? How could he have a headache? Because God divided the quickening power from the Logos. How can you get old? How can you have a headache? How can you have a surgery? Because God has separated the quickening power from the Logos. But once it comes together, the resurrection will be on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Watch again in Matthew 26, verse 75. Peter remembered, after now he's denied the Lord Jesus. Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He went out and wept bitterly. Jesus gave Peter a rhema. Now listen, this rhema was not written in Scripture. Uh-oh. Everything we believe and do should go exactly hand in hand with the Word of God and the message of the hour. But there's times you'll face things and I'll face things that we don't know what to do. And no matter how much you try to type it in and look for your answer, sometimes it ain't there. Exactly what you think you need. But God is still God. Maybe you're looking to go to college, some of you, and you know, what should my major be? What should I do, this, that, or the other? You're not going to find the word college in the Bible. You're not going to find many of these things in your life, but our God is still a rhema God. God can lead you. If God sees that you're fixing to make a major mistake and you're a major and cost you months and months of extra study, you won't even need it. If you'll pray instead of depending on your brain, the Holy Ghost will help you. Come on, children. You're fixing to go here, there, whatever more. Don't think that you will know how you ought to live and how you ought to do this, that, and other. God wants us to be totally dependent on Him every day of our life. I believe God wants our lives not only to be a Logos life, but a Rhema life, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse 31. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not this saying. Now, even though the English word is saying, the Greek word is rhema. Now watch, this is not necessarily a scripture word by word by word that Jesus is giving them, but it is a condensing of scripture and what is fixing to happen. And yet they hear this rhema from him, but they don't understand it. Now I want you to notice this. They understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. Why? Why would they have been afraid to ask Jesus? Because Jesus had a side of him that he could rebuke you. Jesus certainly wasn't a fit in this society. Folks saying Jesus is this little gentle Jesus that can be pushed over. Even his disciples was afraid to ask him certain things. Well, I'm sorry y'all didn't know this is in your Bible. So Jesus had given them this rhema word. They didn't understand it.
So, because they didn't understand it, they were afraid to ask him anything about it. Now, notice again in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Now, this is the angel of the Lord that has come to Mary. He's quoted to her a logos from Isaiah. Glory. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy rhema. He quoted a logos, but she recognizes it as a rhema. Now, in the book of Isaiah, it lay there, a virgin shall conceive. But she heard her name in it, which become a rhema word. Don't you see? That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for you. If you're sick and you got a need in your body, they shall lay their hands on the sick. If a rhema word drops in your heart, they'll lay their hands on Donnie, and Donnie will recover. They'll lay their hands on Keith. If God can drop it in your heart, it's not just the sick anymore. It's you. Amen. He'll pour out his spirit on all flesh. That's good, as long as it's in logos form. But if you hear your name wrote in it, you'll read yourself right in that passage of scripture. You see what rhema does? Rhema takes it out of a multitude of believers or possibilities and singles it down to you. I can't do that for you. Your mama can't do that for you. Brother Branham couldn't do that for you if he was here. There's only one person that can ramify it, make it rhema to you, and that's God Himself. And He does it in His own sovereign time and will. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy rhema. And the angel of the Lord departed from her. Logos had now become rhema, and the rhema started creating in her womb. Yes, amen. The word made flesh.
Amen. That's right.
Be it unto me, Lord. There's a bride in the Bible. There's a bride prophesied in the word. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. It ain't just no longer in the Bible, but it's flesh. Amen. Amen. Let that word, let that logos promise be made flesh in us.
Oh.
Notice again in Luke chapter 2, verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, and the angels had come and told the shepherds, behold, unto you this day in the city of David a Savior is born, which is Christ the Lord. Now the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this English word thing.
Think about it.
Greek word rhema. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this rhema. I don't mind being this kind of thing. Let us see. Now they are believing. Oh my, hallelujah. This was prophecy, but it wasn't exactly stated like the angel said it. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The scripture doesn't exactly say it that way. What was it? A word from God. To who? Theologians? Shepherds. Stinking, humble, low-down shepherds. And God give them a rhema word. If God can give them to you, can He give you one? And see this thing which is... So logos becomes rhema. And it came to pass. I hope you can understand today, that's what's going on with you. You're coming to pass. Now the word said it 712 years before this was ever brought flesh on the earth. That was logos. It lay there in seed form. No doubt many virgins read this. Many priests thought this will be my daughter. This will be my daughter. But there was no quickening power on Isaiah 14 to make it alive. But whenever the angel of God picks up a woman born before the foundation of the world, and the angel of God recognizes her and comes down to her and says, you have found favor in the eyes of God. Let me tell you this morning, Happy Valley, you have found favor in the eyes of God. It's not because of your merit. It's not because of your goodness. It's because God gave you that favor. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, that Logos laid in the Word for hundreds and hundreds of years. But an angel of God took that Word and spoke it. And she recognizes it as a Rhema Word. This is not now just quoting a scripture. This is my word. Oh, glory. This is my word. This is my time. Notice when the shepherds get there now in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the Rhema, which was told them concerning this child. Now they could share the Rhema, but they didn't have the power to make it live in the hearts of other individuals. You ever done that? God ever do something for it? I mean, it just turns you upside down. You're just beside yourself, and you can't wait to tell somebody, and they're just sitting there, really? Wow. I mean, you think, knock me over with a wet noodle. They don't even know what in the world I'm even saying. What in the world's the matter? Because you can't empower them with that Rhema. It's a Rhema to you, but you do not have the power. Friend, let's get ourselves out of this and realize we get aggravated at people because we share with them a revelation with them. Why can't they see it? Because you can't give them a revelation. You can't give your children a revelation. This message, we need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our grandchildren. We don't want them just to be raised in this church believing the message. We want God to make the word real to them. Oh, praise God. When they bring this baby for him to be dedicated, you remember there was a man there by the name of Simeon. Luke chapter 2, verse 29. He takes the child into his arms and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy Rhema. What's he referring to? The Holy Ghost had told him, Simeon, you're not going to die till you've seen the Lord's Christ. He didn't have one written scripture to prove that. Could God tell somebody here today you're going to be alive in the rapture? Well, he may very well do it. Don't expect all the rest of us to believe it just because you said it. That's the problem. Sometimes God may deal with us, an individual. He don't expect us to run our fat blabbermouths about it. It's for us. But we want to tell other people, God told me, God told me, God told me. Maybe you're not even supposed to be repeating those words. This word was for Simeon. It does not mean that word that came to Simeon would apply to any other individual. The problem is when we go to try to impersonating other people's Rhemas. Well, it worked for them, it worked for them. That don't mean that word is for you. That might have been for them. This word was for Simeon alone. Well, God told me if I'd fast 30 days, I'd get the Holy Ghost. Fine, if that's what God told you, you'll get it. But if a voice spoke to you and it don't come to pass exactly what that voice said, you repent till you get that evil spirit off of you. Because God don't lie. But don't try to make that a doctrine. Well, brother, I fasted 3 days and I got the Holy Ghost. That don't go through this church with that. That don't mean it applies to everybody else. That might have been for you. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Watch in Luke chapter 3, verse 2. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest. The word, Rhema of God, came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. What came to John? The Rhema. Why? There was no Old Testament scripture that told John to baptize. I said, I'll send my messenger before my face, Isaiah 40:3, and also Malachi 4. But nothing in the Old Testament said when he comes, he'll baptize in water. What did God have to give him? A rhema word. Don't you see why Brother Branham operated under so much on the visions? What was it? Ramus, straight from God. Your name is so-and-so. I see your future out there. This and that and the other is going to happen. This is the realm that prophets worked on. Oh, hallelujah. But God loves us so much. Prophets may work in that realm way, way more than we will. But every child of God can have access. When God chooses. Praise be to God. Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Peter and the boys have been out on a fishing trip. They fished all night. They ain't caught nothing. Jesus says, boys, let's go out and go fishing. They said, I'm telling you something. We fished all night long. We ain't caught one thing. There ain't no fish out there. Now watch. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy raiment. Glory to God. I've been in the prayer line. I've tried this. I've tried that. But I feel inspired to go up today. Nevertheless, at thy raiment. You may have tried it and you're acting out the best on Logos that you know. Don't you let that devil talk you out of your healing. Many of you have done this and that and the other repeatedly because you're following the pattern of Logos. And when one day God drops a rhema word down there, you're ashamed to try it because of, well, what's everybody going to think? Who cares what everybody thinks? You better follow the voice of the living God. Right there, that day might be your healing and your deliverance by a rhema word. Instead of you just following the repeat pattern of Logos. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I've been prayed for and ain't got the Holy Ghost. I keep trying. And some drops in there go up today for the Holy Ghost. Well, I done tried. Don't you let that devil rob you. Go! Nevertheless, at thy rhema, I will let down the net. Now he's doing the same thing he'd done all night long. Let it down, take it up. Let it down, take it up. Let it down, take it up. Anybody ever been there besides me and Peter? Or what have you gone through in your life? You just let down a net and pull it up empty. Let down a net, pull it up empty. Let down a net, pull it up empty. And then Jesus tells you to do the exact same thing you've been doing all along. Go to church. Read your Bible. Pray. Oh, so I've been doing that already. Well, keep on doing it. This might be fish time. Oh, hallelujah. This might be fish time. Jesus didn't give him some great magical potion. But he said, Peter, just do the same thing you've been doing. Nevertheless, at thy rhema, I will let down the net. I don't feel no better. I don't feel no closer to God. But it's Sunday and I think I'll just go to church. As I was reading an email Brother Jimmy had sent me before church to someone who'd gotten away from the Lord and gotten a real cold condition. They thought they were not here, but someone from another state. They thought, well, they're streaming around the internet and found our website. Person said, well, what could it hurt? Said they got on there and started listening to the service and cried through the entire service. God come on the scene and done something for them. What was it? Maybe the same thing they'd done before. Click, click, click. But there's a difference when you click with rhema. Amen. There's a difference when you click. And God says, go to church today. Because today is your day. Get prayed for. Today is your day. Do this, that, the other right now is your time. See why we need rhema words from God. At at the tomb of Jesus, Luke 24:4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his Ramus. One thing I love about the grace of God, when God gives you a rhema, and if you miss it, the power still lays in it several days later. You know how we are as humans. We become desensitized and maybe hard and busy and this and that and the other. And we miss it. And we need a little bit of reminding. And the power still lays in that rhema word. Oh my. You should have got it on Sunday, but you're sitting there trimming your fingernails. Or you're answering a text. Or you're checking the price of gold. And you should have got it there. But the grace of God wanted you to get it so bad. It hits you at Home Depot Thursday morning about 9:05. And you had a good Holy Ghost spell in the lumber section. Ramos. St. John 6:63. Just a few verses prior to St. John 6:6:6. When many of those people turned away and followed him no more. But this is 6:6:3. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The Ramos that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Lord God have mercy. The Ramos that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are Zoe. If the Logos was spirit and life, we would not need rhema. We load our minds, we load our intellect, we load our spirit, or we should, with the Logos. Mechanics, waiting for the dynamics. But when rhemas come, they are a compact missile with both life, spirit, and current present tense for what you have need of, all in one small package. If you recall many of the times in your life when God has dropped a rhema to you, it was not a great big old long quote about 57 pages long. It wasn't 137 verses out of this psalm and the 332 verses out of the New Testament over here. Many times all it takes is one little word, one little sentence. And it turns you around. And the devil is looking at you all bug-eyed and figured, what in the world happened to her? What in the world happened to him? You see, this is a realm he hears us talk about, but he don't understand. Because he ain't never had this from God. He ain't got no access. This is family stuff. What's Jesus? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The Remus that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are Zoe. The absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God and through him both to the hypostatic Logos and to Christ, and whom the Logos put on human nature. So Zoe quickens Logos. Lord have mercy. And it becomes spirit and life. Did you see it? This verse is the mystery of your life. Zoe quickens your Logos. like seed in your soul. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What is it about you that makes you so much different? It's not just the length of our hair, sister. It's not because we dress godly. It is spirit and life. Zoe quickens the Logos in our souls. Amen. That Logos lay there for years and years and years in darkness. But one day the Zoe, it quickened it. It is creative life back into the seed of the Word. St. John 6:68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord. After Jesus had said, now many of them went away. And then Jesus said, y'all want to leave? Y'all want to go? Go on. Brother Tony, ain't you run? Ain't you afraid you'll run the church off? No, I'm not. Just as sure as there's a God in heaven, there's some of these verse 68 believers right here in this church. There may be verse 66 as well. I'm already preaching to them. No, I'm after them 68 folks. Not 68 number now, but verse 68. Then Simon Peter, then Donnie answered him, Lord. Then Gene, then Wes, then Bert, then you sisters, answer him, Lord, where could we go? To the Pentecostals? Lord, where could we go? Back to the Methodists? Where could we go? To the Catholics? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the Ramas. Thou hast the Ramas of eternal life. Watch this in trial. Brother Bram said, these men claim they believe, but the Holy Spirit know nothing about it. He's the only one that can quicken it. It's just like your body here, see? Your body is dead without the Spirit. So is the Word of God dead without the Holy Ghost to quicken it. The Spirit quickens the body and the Holy Ghost quickens the Word. Again, in Tampa trial, just like your spirit quickens your body and the body is quickened by the Spirit. Without the Spirit, the body is of no effect. The body's dead. And the Word is dead without the Spirit. It takes the Spirit to bring forth the Word to make it live. That little logos of a seed lay in your soul. Some of you for decades. That little logos, spoken thought of God. You drunk, you lied, you run around, you cheated on your wife or your husband while you're still a church member. Some of you even done that going to a message church. Just because you come to a message church don't mean you'll automatically be quickened when you get there. I've seen folks sit in message churches for years and years, and one day it strikes them. Right? That logos lays there, and it's what? It's dead. No life. But Zoe comes over it. Here comes little Zoe. And Zoe moves over the logos. And it's this Zoe brooded over the earth in the beginning. Coo to the earth. Coo. Coo. And the word there, the Spirit of God, Ruach. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Ruach Elohim. Moved. The word moved. It's as an eagle or a bird fluttering her wings. So the Spirit fluttered its wings, as it were, over the earth. Zoe coming down to quicken them seeds. They didn't come up full grown maters, full grown trees. Neither are you. Come on, saints. Many of you have been in the growing process for decades. So what? So's a walnut tree. So's an oak. You expect to be a grown tree overnight? Forget it. That's not the plan of God. You'll go through many hardships and many trials, but the end result's what we want. Look at this in St. John 8:47. He that is of God hears God's remas. Praise the Lord. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Yet they quoted, loved, and believed, they said, the Logos. But it showed they were not God's children, because rhema words went right over their heads. Oh my. The true sign of being family, one of the real greatest signs you can ever have, is hearing rhema words. Praise God. St. John 15:7, if you abide me and my words, my rhemas, abide. And you mean they don't just come and go. Rhema words from God, Zoe life quickened, actually build your experience. When you was going to make a horrible mistake and you was going to do this and other, and all of a sudden a word from God about your situation, might have been a preacher preaching, might have been listening to a tape, might have been reading a scripture in the Bible, you might have passed by a church sign. Hundreds of people passed by the same church sign, meant nothing to them. But it's like the letters on that church sign was the size of a boxcar to you. Why, God dropped a rhema word. Brother Donnie, on a Church of Christ sign? Why, Church of Christ ain't got no ownership on the Bible.
Amen.
I've got sermon notes off of Baptist church signs. Well, I never heard of such in my life. Really? You need to listen to more tapes. Brother Bram said he was preaching in a place one time where they played football and that sort of thing. And he said he walked down in there and saw this sign. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. And yet Brother Bram found that in a Coliseum somewhere. Anywhere you look, you'll find God if you got God eyes. If you got God ears, you can hear Him. If you got God eyes, you can see Him. If ye abide in me and my rhemas, abide. Look at this word abide. Remain. Dwell. Continue. Not to depart. To continue to be present. Not the I was or the I will be, but the I am. St. John 17:8. I've given unto them. Now watch Jesus on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane now, this great intimate prayer. I've given unto them the rhemas which thou gavest me, and they have received them. And they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. These boys were family, wasn't they? They heard rhema words. They believed rhema words. They didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. Can I go a bit farther? Romans chapter 10 verse 3. What saith it? The word, the rhema, is nigh thee. Oh my God. Even in thy mouth. Oh, dear Lord. So rhema words are not just from God's mouth. But they can be in yours. Most of y'all that have confidence in me as your pastor wouldn't have a problem if I come to you with something that I felt like was a word from the Lord. As a matter of fact, I've talked to many, and you say, Brother Donnie, pray about this. If the Lord gives you anything, tell me. You have confidence in me. I ain't no prophet. I'm just a Christian. Do you believe God could put rhema words in your mouth? Not as many of you said amen. This is your scriptures. But what saith it? The rhema's is nigh thee. How much closer could you get than your mouth and your heart? It's nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. What a peculiar way to phrase this. Not faith in the word, but the word of faith. So the word being spoken out, the rhema word, the word being spoken out is fostered or fathered by faith. It's a revelation. You're going to get well. It makes no difference what the CT scan says. It's made no difference what the x-ray says. It makes no difference what the economy says. My God will supply all of my need. Brother Donnie, we're in hard times, and I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if the children of God's going to have their needs met or not. I'll take you back to the Word of God. David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. My God will supply all of your need according not to how well the economy is, but according to his riches and glory. Notice this. What the word is now, the even in the mouth and in the heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. So rhema words bring faith. Could that be also linked in like rapturing faith as well? One more time, I'll let down the net, Lord. You see, the grace of faith is wrought by the Spirit of God. Paul says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the rhemas of God. But people must hear. And then they must believe what they're hearing. And then you've got to have a man in the pulpit that is led of the Holy Ghost. And will he preach much more logos than he does rhema? Of course. Of course he will. And the rhemas coming out of the man's mouth will be diverse as they can be. There may be somebody over in Australia that'll need this and this and this. Somebody in New Zealand needs something totally different. Somebody right here needs something different. Somebody there. And we must be connected together in order for God to be able to flow to your need. When you come to the house of God, whether I'm preaching or not, pull on that man of God. He is your servant. He is there to become a vessel that you can pull a rhema word from God through his mouth. My, let's look now in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the rhema. You see, this is why folks don't get cleansed from their habits and their besetting sins. They hear the word constantly in the form of logos. And they know they should do it. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't, but I won't do it. And they continue to do it, and then they repent, and then they continue to do it, and then they repent. Why? They're not being washed by rhemas. Rhema comes with power. Logos is a letter. It'll make you feel bad. It'll convict you. But more, listen now. Many times it does not have the power to set you free. Rhema comes not only with conviction, but deliverance power. Gonna go just a bit farther. Now let's look at something here. The word husband actually literally means the band of the house. Husband. The band of the house. He is the person that's supposed to keep the house together. All married men are not husbands. I can feel it coming on. No amens for the next 10 minutes. Oh my. He's supposed to be the one that keeps the unity in the home and the spirituality in the home, because he is the houseman. But what's sad is many times you find the wife actually having to be the houseman. She's the one who keeps the home together, not the husband. If it's left up to him, they'd never pray, they'd never read their Bible, they'd skip church a whole lot more because he's too busy making money or doing this or going there somewhere else. They're too caught up in sports. Ouch, amen, oh me, fry smell. many times it'll be the wife. Honey, don't you think we should go to church? Honey, don't you think we should do this? Don't you think we should do that? Why? Because the houseman is not doing what he's supposed to do. Well, glory. Don't tell me just the single men and women is going to say amen now from this point on. Glory to God. You see, it is a God-given trait for a man to be this in his position. And Paul runs the parallel of this, of how that the church, the bride, is actually sanctified from the world and separated unto Christ, not by legalism, but by his rhema words. It is Christ's love for his bride that sanctifies her from the world. Now, those that are sanctified from the world in the form of legalism, nine times out of ten, they'll break away and go back to many things in the world because they are set apart from the world by fear or by legalism. God wants us set apart by love. We don't do this and go here and go that and do that, not because we're afraid we'll go to hell, but because we don't want to hurt him. You see, the married man who has dissolute habits, he doesn't make his home a place of comfort for his wife and children as they have them. A place of stability. He is not a houseman. Instead of keeping the house together, he gives it away to the pawnbrokers. Peace is going here. Happiness is going there. Joy is going somewhere else. The house is going 47 different directions. Total confusion. No peace. You call me a nut if you want to. It don't take me 10 minutes from walking into many folks' house to tell if they have the peace of God or not. Call me a witch. Call me whatever you want to call me. But I know enough about God to know his peace. Jesus told his disciples, when you go in there, if you don't find peace in the home, then leave. Don't let my peace remain on you. Don't take you long at all. They may have all kinds of possessions. That ain't what really matters. I don't care what your worth and how big your house is, and you may have 15 garages and 37 cars in them garages and not have one lick of peace in your home. Oh my. And the word wife means a weaver. That's what the word wife means, a weaver. Now, it was symbolic, of course, that they did not have fabric places where they could go and get their fabric. So the little girls would be able to pull the cotton and they would bring it to the mother. And the mother was called a weaver. But it's also a spiritual symbol of the spiritual woman's position. And that the woman will take the intricate threads of each child. She will take the intricate threads of the things, the social circle and all that they live in. And she will take her traits, her children's traits, her husband's traits, that will take the reveal word for the hour they live, and she will begin to weave into the fabric of what is called the home. Now, she does this inside the home, and she reflects by this the very epitome of what the true bride church is supposed to be. So the woman is supposed to be a weaver, not a houseman. Many times husband bestows large gifts on their wives and buy this and that and the other. And don't even know how to change a light bulb and take out the garbage. Oh, I want to help my wife. Oh, I want to be such a help to my wife. You pick up your towels when you get done taking a shower. You take off your clothes, you leave them right there where they fail. I want to help my wife. You're a liar. Face facts. You're lying. What if everybody in your house picked up their clothes and their towels and their empty glasses and their empty water bottles, you sorry outfits? You're making me mad. Good. I can stare you down. I do have the pivotal point up here on the axis so I can turn from side to side, you know. Oh, my. My, the simple things that mean so much to women. But you see, many men around this message, they want to run their home like a military camp. Now, some of you men that claim you got the Holy Ghost and you're quieting down on this word, you might want to check your ghost. Make sure it's still holy. They think the wife and the children are there solely for their pleasure. Now, simply ask you one question. Is that the way Christ loves the bride? Paul never tells the women this order of love. Why? Men are superior. Come on now, you men. Blow out now. Blow out your chest. I'm the head of the home, which means you're supposed to love like Jesus does. How many times a day does he forgive you? Lord, now why in the world you work this out? We're going to be right at the end of this service, Lord. You see, the husband's love should be a sanctifying love. And the woman, of course, has to receive the sanctifying process. Notice this. Paul says about Christ, running the parallel between Christ and the church, that he might sanctify, which is hagizio, hallow to be venerable or hallow to separate from profane things and dedicate to God to consecrate or to purify. So the husband's love, in the natural sense, ought to be a sanctifying love. That the woman does not love her husband and serve her husband because she's scared to death of him. He'll divorce me if I don't do this. Oh God, here comes my husband. I got to do this. There's something wrong in that home. It ought to be the husband's dominance in that home should be by love, not fear. Now, if you want a military camp, don't call it a home. Now, if you want to be a married man, go ahead and call yourself a married man, but don't call yourself a husband if you're trying to run a boot camp. Hallelujah. Amen. And you wives, when you got a godly man there that's trying to write the kind of that kind of example, if you want to go on the rapture, you better bring yourself under that head. Does that mean he's a dictator? By no means. Any man that's a dictator, whether he's a husband or a preacher, is anointed of the Antichrist spirit. Amen. Not of God. He might sanctify and cleanse. Cleanse. Katharizo. Make clean, purge in a moral sense. To free from defilement of sin, from faults. To purify from wickedness. To free from guilt of sin. To purify. To consecrate by cleansing or purifying. To consecrate or dedicate. Amen. That's good. And how does God do this? By rhema words. You see, there's a natural element of sanctification and there is a spiritual element of sanctification. Those folks in the message who only get the natural side always become legalists. Bless God, if you go to Disney World, you're going to hell. Well, I beg to differ with you. Since 1962, Brother Branham was going out there to see the Weatherby factory and he said, now any of you families that want to go, Disney's over there on the West Coast, so if you want to go over and see it. More spiritual than Brother Branham. Well, good day to you because we don't need you here. Praise the Lord. But you see, those who get sanctification in the natural realm and also get it in the spiritual realm, they are loosed from habits. They are loosed from sin. But they're loosed by their husband's power of love. His love is so powerful, it sanctifies them and sets them free. The others only get, well, I can't go here and I can't. I wish I could. I wish I could smoke. Man, if I could smoke, I'd smoke one right after the other. I'd get a cigarette 14 foot long. You're not free. That snake is still in your heart. But if your husband has loosed you by his love, it will show itself in your natural habits. How does he do? By rhema words. So he looses you, sisters, from miniskirts. Praise the Lord. He looses you, brothers, from dressing in your jewelry like women. Well, glory to God. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing, bathing, baths, as well as the act of bathing. Look at the Greek word here, lutron. To cleanse you, loose you, by washing you with what? Rhemas. Because logos can get like right now, because that's what I'm dealing with right now. Until y'all's face, y'all ain't getting rhemas. I'm Logos preaching right now, and y'all are sitting there like Logos listeners. Some of you getting that evil eye about you. But if God can change us to rhema words, you'll lose that evil eye. And it'll wash you, and it'll loose you from within. Then it's not, well, I've got to do, and I can't do, and I've got, I get so sick of hearing that. I can't go here, and I can't do that. I can't. It shouldn't be can't. It should be, I don't want to. I don't want to. Well, I guess this would be a good place to close. Y'all's hand clap is about like Brother Ram's old Model T. I think I can. I thought I could. It's the truth, friends. We have to make up our minds. Do we want truth or do we want to play church here? Do we just want to assemble on occasion here on the hill and just play church? And I'll play like I'm the preacher and y'all play like you're the people. Is that what we want? Or do we want the living God among us? Do we want to be washed and loosed by rhema words from God? Oh, hallelujah. I love him, don't you? Oh, my. Let's bow our heads together, if you would. No one looking around, please. I know we have many married folks here today, and we have many single folks, maybe out on the internet as well, for those that will hear it. Maybe you husbands, you look at yourself, say, God, I really want to be a husband. I don't want just to be a married man. You've seen men that, you know what I'm talking about, that they're really a married single man. They want to live like a single man. But they want the benefits and the blessings of being a married man. So it comes right down to being a domestic man that is the house band. Brother, it didn't say you're the golf band. Golfing's all right unless you make an idol out of it. You're the house band. You men, God's going to hold each of you responsible for being a house band. When people walk into your home, you want them to sense it's not a place of chaos. It's not a place to where the wife has to be the spiritual head of the home because the man is so spiritual lazy. He's too busy making money. He's too busy doing this and doing that. Well, my wife is more spiritual here, but that's a real shame for you, my friend. That's a real shame. God don't want your wife to have to do your position. She's a weaver. She takes the filaments of the threads of your life and her life and the lives of your children and weaves it together in a beautiful pattern. This is why the scripture tells them to be keepers at home. They have a full-time job, being those weavers at home. But when she has to be the weaver plus the house band to hold it all together, how sad. And then you wives, if you've got a husband that's a real house band and you're all the time out running up and down the roads, your house smells and looks like a hog pen, you never have meals on the table. Oh my goodness, Lord. Do you not understand? God's going to make you answer, sister. This is part of who you are. You sisters ain't going to preach. You're not going to hold meetings. This is part of who you are. Your long hair is only part of who you are. Your long dresses, your position in your home is a great reflection of who you are. A weaver. What are you teaching your children? What are you sisters teaching your young daughters about what a wife should be? Or your young sons? May God help us. And they like to be remembered today before the Lord. Lord Jesus, help me, Father. Lord God, I pray that you'd help each of us today, Lord. Begin with me. Help me, Father, that I can be the right kind of husband to my wife. I want to love her so much, Father, I want to sanctify her and pull her apart from the world and the things of the world, from any other man that would ever try to come around her. not from fear of me, but of love. Lord, I want to be not only the right kind of husband, but in the spiritual sense, I want to be the right kind of bride church. But I am sanctified by your love. And when Satan comes around offering me this or that and tempting me and doing whatever that he does, I will basically laugh in his face. Why would I want to leave my husband, the Lord Jesus, and follow you? He's given me everything. Help our wives, Lord, our mothers, being the weavers of the home. What are they weaving into the mentality of their daughters, their sons? What are they weaving about the importance of going to church? Are they weaving into their thinking that really three times a week is it's too much? Just on Sunday is plenty. Yet the fabric of Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But are we weaving by our habits something into the lives of our children that has greater value than reading the Bible, praying, going to the house of God? What's going to be the cloth of our home when you come, Lord Jesus? We know each tribe had insignias and colors of the 12 tribes of Israel. Each one of those tribes had a tribal cloth, and that was a certain pattern that was typical to Levi, Naphtali, Issachar, Reuben. They had colors, and when you would see this certain cloth, you would know what tribe they belonged to, because the women in their tribe wove together this fabric, and they were identified by what they wore, and what they wore was made by their wives. Help us to realize, Lord, it was also the women who gave their bronze and their copper and whatever more, their looking glasses, to make the brazen laver by which the priest would wash their feet. From this same word that we read a moment ago, lutron. From there, from the looking glasses of the women was made the laver by which the priests washed their feet and hands. Help these mothers to realize they have a great place in the economy of God, in the family, in the church. Many of them take the burden of homeschooling their children. It's a notable thing. But Lord, help them not to get so wrapped up in mass and arithmetic and this and that, that they leave out some of the greatest principles that there are, spiritual principles of God. We homeschool them to keep them away from the world, and then we keep them away from church. It makes no sense. And we're weaving into their minds this fabric. Oh God, help us today, Lord Jesus. We need your help, Lord. How many would like to be remembered? Just raise your hand with your head still bowed. Lord, remember me. Just tell him, Lord, help me as a father. Help me as a husband. Help me as a wife. Well, you said, Brother Donnie, I'm not married, all right? You single people, listen to me. You need to pray like you ain't never prayed before you marry somebody. Some of you girls marry, some of these men around this message ain't fit to have a wife. Same way with some of the girls. Some of you men marry something that don't even want to live right. Pray, brother. Pray. God will give you the right woman. Pray, sister. God will give you the right man. Praise the Lord. You sisters want to marry a man that's going to be a houseband. And you men want to marry a woman that's going to be a weaver in the economy of God. That will weave the fabric of truth and humility and faithfulness into the minds of your children. Praise be to God. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Well, I must tell you, friends, this went so different than the way I thought it was going to go today. In my mind, we was all just about going to leave this place in a rapture. Shows what I know. But I realize, in order to leave this place in a rapture, this is part of our washing. Wash us, Lord. Wash us. Praise God. Before we go, Sister King, as many of you know, the doctors have diagnosed our sister with breast cancer in stage 2. And they've got some other tests and this and that and other they're going to do. My brother and sister King is over in the fellowship hall. And myself, and I want the other ministers to go over with me. She's unable to come over here this morning for prayer. But we're going to go over and pray for her and with her. Brother Louis is going to lead in singing, and then we'll be back. But while we're going over there, I want you to hold this in your heart as well. We believe our God can heal cancer. Cancer is nothing. I will quote to her the Logos. The minister brothers will quote the Logos as we're praying for her. But what we're believing and asking God for, it'll be a rhema that'll fall in her heart. I might quote Logos, and she may not hear it as Logos. She may hear it as a rhema word from God. By His stripes, I am healed. Brother Louis, sing something. God bless you. Pray for us as we go over, and then I'll be back, and then we'll close. All the minister brothers, if you would. A couple of you deacons, if you'd love to go with us as well, you can.
What a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him, His people bow before Him. What a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, now what a mighty God Jesus is. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him, His people mighty God our Jesus is. With all your heart now, let's sing it. Well, what a mighty God our Jesus is. What a mighty God Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. We love to bow before Him. Oh, what a mighty God our Jesus is. One more time. God Jesus is. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Sing it to Him. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people, they love to bow before Him. What a mighty God Jesus is. enjoy the word of the Lord this morning? Praise the Lord. Let's sing Our God Reigns. Our God Reigns. Let's sing this little song together, if you will. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns.
Let's sing it now.
Oh, our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Praise the Lord. Let's worship Him together. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. Let's sing that this morning. Yes, there's power
In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, to break every chain, 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 break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. He'll break every chain, 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 break every chain. I can see those chains falling. I can see those chains falling. I can see those chains falling. He'll break every chain, 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 break every chain. There's a mighty God among us. There's a mighty God among us. There's a mighty God among us. He'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain,
every chain,
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
God bless you, saints. See you next weekend, Lord
willing. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I can see those chains falling. I can see those chains falling. I can see those chains falling. He'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. He'll break every chain, 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 break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, 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 break every chain. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
A strong tower, the righteous run in,
oh, and they are saved.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into,
oh, yes.
They are
Amen.
Saved.
God bless you. You're dismissed. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous running.